This spinoff of my Taking Back Birth podcast is called Walk and Talk. It was about time that me, Marin, and IndieBirth co-founder Margot got together in an informal, regular, talk show type format to talk about whatever's on our minds. We'll talk about the ideas and topics that bring us together as midwives, women, and best friends. Stay tuned as we literally walk and talk about whatever comes up for us in this episode. We welcome your ideas or suggestions too, so be sure to leave us a review on iTunes and let us know what subjects you want to hear.
Good morning! I don't know what that noise was, but anyway. Ah, it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
Put my phone back in my pocket. Yeah, like I was saying, the snow and ice have melted out on my favorite Creekside Trail.
Awesome. Maybe that means we'll get back on track with these walk and talks. We have to take the winter sort of off.
Well, next year I'll get myself a really fancy, I think they're called baklavas or something. I don't know. The face warmer.
I almost bought one,
and then I knew I was coming to Arizona for the month.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, by the time I get back, it'll be warmer, and then it kind of wasn't. So I'll just buy one as soon as it gets cold this year.
Or you can just come back here again. Forget that.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday, I really should just live in Arizona from, like, January 5th through April 1st.
Yeah, well, you're
put that on
You're
the
welcome,
list.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, shall we talk about birth media stuff?
Yeah, this is one of our passions, I think.
Yeah, it's one of the things that makes us different than a lot of the other birth groups around. So, yeah, where should we start?
Well, I mean, a little bit of history, I guess, around this and us is we got interested, I'd say, right, in taking photos at birth when we started with a professional photographer who came with us. What was that, like 6 years ago?
Yep.
That's right. So she started by photographing True's birth, which was my sixth baby, and then we ended up working out a cool arrangement with her where she wanted to take photos for us, at least for a couple births, kind of for free for people that wanted it. So I feel like that was the beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah, it felt so exciting at the time. And, you know, we really, you know, that was like the early days of our Facebook following. And that was sort of the first time I think we saw, like, the power of sharing those photos with the world. And
sure.
I'm sure in six more years we'll look back and be like, oh man, we were small scale then too, but back then it was very like, oh, we'd put up a photo every, you know, now and then, and it would often go sort of all over the world. And we were like, holy shit, that's a thing.
Yeah, like that one.
Yeah, I feel like it was before birth photography was really a thing, maybe outside of some of the bigger, you know, metro areas. And
right.
I don't remember seeing a lot of, like, high-quality birth photography, and I remember seeing, like, almost no photography of birth like the ones we were going to. Like, you know, it'd often be dark and grainy and all those things. So, you know, we did a session on this 2 years ago at the first conference. We don't need to, like, redo that, but, you know, phones have gotten so much better, and the interest in high-quality birth photography has grown so much that now we see a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, too, that 6-7 years ago, there was no Instagram, and Facebook, of course, was still, like, heavily policing birth photos, so what we were able to post back then was, really pretty minimal. And so
well,
to
even
have
up
that
to
kind
the
of
last,
effect.
Yeah, I mean, even up till a few months ago, which is,
uh-huh.
I don't know if we've talked about that on here yet. Have we?
No, we should talk about that on here, though.
We should.
Because there's, yeah.
Snarful, sorry. Yeah, so, yeah, we got sort of fed up with being blocked and banned and, yeah, policed and micromanaged by Facebook, mostly. Also Instagram, but they usually just took stuff down, right?
Yeah, no, mostly Facebook. I mean, it was becoming sort of personal, right? Like, you'd log on, they wouldn't even tell you what photo they removed, and then you wouldn't even, you know, you'd be banned for, I don't know, 7 days, 14 days. Like, it was starting
right.
to get really
ridiculous.
Inconvenient.
Yeah, especially when so much of our work, unfortunately, maybe, is done
sure.
there, or a lot of, like, our advocacy work and getting people free resources is often through Facebook, so...
Yeah, so that was becoming quite a bummer, and I know for me, at least, like, it seemed like accounts were definitely flagged, and so I would post
sure.
stuff that really wasn't even revealing,
sure.
and would get banned. So, yeah, so we got sick of that, and
our friends over at These Are My Hours had also been working on this issue, because they were trying to quickly figure out how to share more photos and video from their bird documentary, and they were on, like, a timeline, and, like, how are we going to do this if they keep getting reported and all that. So they connected us with a really cool lawyer at Facebook, and then she connected us with some other team members, and we had a couple meetings with them, and they turned into, like, fangirls. Cute.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, like, what made the difference, you know, and timing. It's, like, these kind of things, I think, just take repeated effort. So, you know, the people that had sort of tried before us, like, their efforts were part of this, because
mm-hmm.
I don't think it would have happened just, like, one-shot deal. But yet, oh, dear, sorry, there's a dog yipping. Yeah, but, I mean, they had been talking to a guy at Facebook, which honestly I think was, like, sort of part of the problem of not getting past this issue, you know, their male lawyer. And so when he referred us to these two ladies that aren't lawyers but work for Facebook in this department, I feel like that was the key to success, you know, the repeated efforts and women talking with women about how to change this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know they talked to some other birth people, birth photographers and that sort of thing. I think we were the only midwives they talked to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we were the first people they talked to. But, yeah. Come on.
And they were super responsive, and it was funny because it was like what we had to say was new information for them, even though we didn't think it would be. You know, we said we don't really want to be showing this to anybody who doesn't want to see it. That's not our point. And they were like,
right.
That was their aha moment.
Yeah,
and
that it wasn't like a shock and awe sort of campaign. Like, we
right.
actually use this to educate people.
Yeah, and that we are, you know, fine with this idea of, and I think they had been toying with the idea, but we suggested, you know, what if we use those sort of, like, filters? If somebody doesn't want to see it, then they don't have to see it, or they can click on it and see it if it's something that's more graphic, which maybe is still something they're going to be rolling out. I don't know. We haven't talked to them in a little bit, but
yeah,
right
they're
now,
supposed to. Mm-hmm.
But for right now, they've sort of listed our shirt.
Yeah.
And we're able to post anything we want, which is really exciting and has, I think, changed things a lot just in the last couple months even. Having that ability,
yeah,
so.
It totally has, but I have to say, it's been surprising to me that nobody has sort of obviously noticed. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, just like very, very raw, intimate shots that were removed within seconds 6 months ago are now, you know, getting just so many views, and I just think it's funny that even our community hasn't said, like, hey, how come you're allowed to post this now? Or, like, hey, this just is different. Like, we haven't seen this kind of stuff coming from you guys here on Facebook. But no one said anything. So maybe that's just part of, like, the organic way this is rolling out. I don't know.
It's good proof that there was no reason to ever ban it in the first place.
Sure.
We really
sure.
haven't had people being offended or angry or anything. And it's been so nice to be able to share those beautiful photos and eventually some videos. I know that's something we're headed towards.
Right.
So,
yeah, I wanted to add, too, that I think the coolest part, at least for me, when we were working with these women at Facebook, I mean, they at the moment, at least, haven't birthed themselves. So I feel like an important part of reaching them on a level they could understand was not only just like, oh, we're women and this is normal and natural, but that, like, for our daughters and our, you know, future generations, it's important that we start to, like, reverse this view that women and their bodies and birth, you know, it's disgusting or it's graphic or it's, you know, obscene or it's whatever, porn. I felt like that really did reach them in a way, like, at the heart level that they could understand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I really don't think changes would have happened otherwise if it just had been a matter of, like, more aggressive policy of, like, you're not letting us and we should be able to and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I feel like it was really, like, a heart-to-heart connection with them that even not having birth, they understood. And I just think that says so much about the power of women, like, connecting and, like, working on things together that affect all of us. I mean, like, whether they birth or not really is irrelevant.
Yeah. And I wonder if they'll let us use that cute photo they sent of them wearing our T-shirt.
I know. It's so cute. Yes. Yes. They became aligned with a lot of what we do, which is cool, you know, makes you feel too less like a, like we're really on the total fringe. I mean, Facebook is about as mainstream as you can get. So,
right.
You know, yay. That's an awesome thing to share.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we wanted to talk about, like, just different perspectives on, you know, birth media. So I wrote a long time ago a piece about birth photography and sort of, like, why it matters, why it's part of, like, the storytelling of birth and how we should be careful about the kinds of images we share.
Yep.
And conscious of what's in the photo. So, like, you know, doing some textual analysis, you know, as we talk about in the sociology world of, like, what is this photo telling us? Not that there's anything wrong with everyone sharing their birth photos, but, like, if you are, you know, this is where it gets tricky because a lot of birth photographers, like a lot of doulas, feel like their only allegiance is to that individual, which is true, and as midwives, too, you know, that's part of it. But what makes us different, I think, is that we have this bigger picture political understanding of how these pieces of media impact people. So I remember getting in trouble a bunch of years ago when I brought up, like, hey, this is a really great photo, like, you know, technically speaking, but can we have a conversation about the oxygen tank?
Right, like, behind the birth pool at home.
Yeah. And, you know, not even anything crazy, just like, at least have a conversation about it since you placed it. You placed this photo in front of me.
Right.
And I would like to discuss it. You know, and people being like, you're shaming them, or how dare you bring anything up about anyone's birth photo? It's just this family wanting to share their story. And it's like, yes, but that family story is part of a larger tapestry of birth stories.
Right. And so, I don't think you were even commenting on their story. It was more like generalities of, like, let's talk about this at a home birth.
Totally. Which I think is really powerful, and I think there's a layer of accountability there. And we talked about this at the conference 2 years ago. Sort of like in all the political movements right now, the fact that we all have a camera in our pocket at all times,
right.
And now, you know, people are able to live stream things immediately.
Sure.
Like, it adds a layer of accountability even to us as midwives.
Right.
And it's funny because, of course, doctors won't allow that at all at the moment, but I'm sure there will be something around that in the coming years, I would imagine. Because they used to say you couldn't have a camera. They used to say no cameras allowed.
Right.
And then they couldn't say that anymore because everyone had a camera and they were never going to let them tell them no. So, you know, I'm interested to see how all this evolves. But, yeah, so that's something I care about. And someone recently on Facebook, a midwife, was saying, you know, sort of in a more general way, she said, oh, I really hate when midwives post photos of their clients, sort of was the blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then went on to say, you know, it's not about you. It shouldn't be a photo of you holding the baby or you weighing the baby or doing anything with the baby, which I agree with. But I thought she really missed the larger point, which is that not all birth media is disempowering.
Right.
And like we've said, you know, the clients we work with are excited to have their photos shared and to feel like they're being a part of the change. In that way.
Sure. Sure. And I think we have, like, the double mission of not just inspiring women to share their stories because, you know, that's important. And, yes, they are so thrilled to be a part of, like, this revolution. I mean, we have women, you know, most of our clients, I think, asking us, please film my birth.
Mm-hmm.
Please take photos. And then being fine to use them. I think the other side that maybe addresses, you know, the midwife in photos, which I'm certainly, you know, guilty of posting, is because I feel like we have an obligation as we're teaching midwives to show part of our own role at birth. And no, that doesn't mean birth is about us. It's not really about us at all. But when we're in a position to show midwives what it can look like when the status quo, for example, is, you know, listening with a Doppler all the time or, like, you know, reaching in there and pulling a baby out or, like, doing all of these things that even midwives have come to see as normal. And we can post photos that are the opposite of that and talk about why, explain what we're thinking or what we were doing or why, you know, we're working on changing something that we've been taught. That's the part that I feel like maybe those older midwives have completely missed the boat on. Maybe they felt like they didn't have to explain those things to their generation, you know, because
mm-hmm.
midwives were midwives and they weren't, you know, medicalized professionals. But because that has changed so much, you know, again, I feel like that's an obligation that we have. And, you know, I guess people can think like, oh, there they are posting the photos of themselves again. But if they read what's being written, you know, they can resonate with it or not. But I know we get lots of great feedback, especially on Instagram, from student midwives or people that want to be midwives saying, like, I didn't know that was a thing. So thanks for making me think about that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like a snapshot into an apprenticeship. Like, what would an apprenticeship be like?
Exactly.
With us, we'd be talking about those things. And, yeah, and those things that seem so normal to us, we realize over and over and over again, are not what's being taught out in the world. Someone just the other day in one of our free groups, the Midwifery for the People group, was saying how thankful she was for a thread that I think a mom started.
Uh-huh.
Because she said she's working so hard to unlearn all of, like, the medical garbage from her MEEK program she was in and completed.
Yep.
And she's trying to figure out how to get back to where she wanted to be to start with.
Right.
And that we're one of the only resources around who have space for that and who are putting in the time and energy to make those learning opportunities possible for new students and then also practicing midwives, right? So this is something.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I believe it.
And the birth media is such a huge part of that. And in our Wise Woman Circle, I did a call, I think I did it twice actually, around like birth photography basics so that people could feel a little more empowered about getting their own, because that's sort of the part of the story we skipped, which was we went to some births with our friend Jenny, the professional photographer, and then, you know, she couldn't really do that for free anymore, and we moved ahead, and you know, I was bummed because I really, you know, we were both bummed, I think, because we really loved having those to share.
Sure.
And had to figure out a way to continue in a different way that was more sustainable for everyone.
Right.
And so my partner, Russell, had a pretty nice, basic but nice camera that he had gotten for his work and was just sort of laying around. And after I had my baby, I started playing with it more and got some good practice getting really cute photos of my daughter and one of our lovely former clients gave me some tips, and I was like off and running with that. So that's developed a lot over the last few years.
Yeah, just, for sure.
You know, getting better at taking our own photos, you know, this last trip, getting you set up with gear to do the same, because now we're realizing how priceless those images are and how we're really one of the only places, centralized places, that people can get that. Because, yeah, it's just not, you know, like birth photographers are amazing, but most of them take a variety of clients, a variety, you know, planning a variety of kinds of births. And so you don't get the same underlying tone and message that you get when you see the collection that we put out consistently.
Well, their intention is different. You know,
right.
As you mentioned, they're being hired as a professional to just do what the parents want. So that's different than us having a relationship with these women. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversations, I think, with our clients about this as they're seeing other photos come out. You know, with people they even know, like, oh, that's so-and-so. Like, what a beautiful photo. Or, you know, almost immediately when I started going back to taking birth after Deva was born, all the women that had seen her birth, you know, they were like first in line, like, oh, I want that. So, you know, I think it's influential for women to see each other, and that's just like a different role than a birth photographer plays in a lot of
ways.
Totally. I think the other cool thing too is the video. Like, I, for one, haven't captured any amazing, like, cinematography level video, but even getting the birth of the placentas is going to be really fun to share at the retreat in my one session, because all the videos that I'm going to show are women birthing their own placentas with, like, no interference, maybe a little talking through. But something like that, like, where are people seeing placenta births? Like, there really aren't very many out there at all. So we can like, pinpoint these, like, concrete things we want to spread and teach. And you know, go for it, which is super fun.
Yeah, I just wanted to say more about your point too. Like, you're saying the intention is different. Like, with our clients, the intention is, yes, to capture really awesome photos for them and memorabilia for them, but also for this larger purpose of trying to bring other women into their birth space, because that's what we would have been doing, you know, back in the day. We would have gone to birth. We would have seen so many before our own. And, you know, the women that I am working with, I can think of the next one who's due, is so excited. She wants a really good video. I'm not sure if she wants to eventually share it or not, but probably, I would think. And, you know, she just wants to pay it forward because the few really good ones she's seen, you know, have influenced her so much. And she...
Yeah,
it's like,
that's,
it's for
so
me,
cool.
But it's also for everyone coming after me.
So cool. Yeah, I mean, that makes me think of one of the women we took a video of this past winter came to my free workshop last weekend. And I, of course, you know, asked her permission, like, can I show your birth video at this workshop? Like, do you want that, especially while you're sitting there? And she said, yes, like, most definitely. And it was so amazing to, like, watch her video, but then also be there for these other women to, like, ask questions of, and, you know, also say to her the obvious, like, wow, thank you for sharing that. Like, it was so beautiful. And she said to me too, like, she really feels good about herself when she's able to do that. You know, she's like, I never imagined that I'd be sharing these sorts of things. Like, if you had asked me years ago, I would have been like, I'm not sharing that kind of stuff. Right. But now, you know, when her photo appears on Instagram, for example, she always messages me and she's like, oh my gosh, like I always look forward to what you're going to write. She's like, because I never really know what it is, but I feel like, you know, like I'm learning too about all these things, and it's like so cool to like be a part of it. So
right.
I guess we've said that, but come on, guys.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, yes,
so,
and yes.
This is definitely part of our mission, part of our work, part of, like, this conference coming up. Angela Gallo is going to be there talking about how to harness the power of social media. I'm sure I'll be talking about this in my session, the getting shit done one.
Mm-hmm.
Encouraging people to really, really figure this piece out.
Right.
Somehow. And I think it's, you know, on the midwife side, it's always helpful, too, like as a reflective and reflection tool.
Uh-huh.
I recently had a birth where we got a video, and it was just of the baby coming out because it was surprising. It took us all by surprise. So I didn't get anything more than just that. And I didn't take it. My lovely apprentice, Alicia, did. And it was a really awesome learning tool for me to be able to rewatch. The baby took a few contractions to be born after the head was out. And, yeah, it was so helpful because my memory in the moment, my in-the-moment memory,
right,
was definitely different than the on-camera reality.
Uh-huh.
And then it was also a really great tool for us to watch and talk about in the Wise Woman Circle. But she was excited for me to share and find me sharing in there.
Yeah.
For educational purposes. And, yeah, it's just like, why not? It's like any of these things. You know, I feel like, oh, this or that has become the thing the midwives can't do or don't do, or there's dogma around it, when our point always is there's a way to do it that is for the highest good, always.
Sure. Sure. And this way, I mean, midwifery in general, but especially I think the kind of things we're trying to, like, work on and impart, these are things that don't fit into, like, the model that exists. So, like, research, for example, you know, like, we're not ever going to see research on undisturbed birth, or when women birth their own placentas, the rate of bleeding. Like, we're not going to ever have that information in a way that comes from, you know, that system, unless we do it ourselves, which of course is a whole other conversation. But for the moment, I feel like these are the tools we have to sort of prove that, you know, this is viable, like women birthing in a way that is powerful for them, with them making these choices, midwifing in a way that's outside of, like, this medical model. This is the way we're illustrating it, like, literally.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yes. Well, I have arrived home, as perhaps you have.
I am on my stoop.
I am in my front yard watching a dog eat juniper berries, so.
Nice.
Well, that was a good chat. We'll have to
that was.
Again.
I'm very Get sweaty. Back. And now I have to go to my dance class.
Ow, dog. All right. Well, have a good day. Thanks for listening, everybody. Last minute chance to come to the Indie Birth Retreat, which is only in about 2 short weeks in May in Minnesota. So go to indiebirthconference.org and you can get one of the few remaining tickets to hang out with us, to be around a campfire with Gail Hart, to meet Angela Gallo, lots of fun and amazing things. I think it will definitely be an intimate weekend that changes a lot of people. I'm expecting that. So we'd love to see you there.
I sort of can't even handle how cool it sounds. Like, our last conferences have been cool and informative.
Not so
but
cool,
this
though.
Year is, like, a serious experience. So if you're free, you should definitely not miss it, because it's going to be off the hook, is I guess what I would say.
Totally. And, you know, this is not, one more thing to say is, like, this is not your normal conference. You know, we've done that the last couple of years. If you didn't know, more like, you know, this is in a conference room with chairs, and this is the, you know, the talk that's happening at 12 o'clock kind of thing. This is not that. This is a whole weekend of, like, you know, like I said, doing fun things, connecting with people, yes, learning, but a little bit more informally. So lots of space to, like, ask questions and, like, get to know people, which is, I think, what we were missing the last couple of years. So it's going to be amazing.
And eat food and do a zip line, perhaps, if we
make
do that.
S'mores, yes, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, yes, IndieBirthConference.org. Really, it's like this will probably be the last walk and talk we do before then because it's coming up so fast. So we'll see you there if you'd like to come.
Cool. All right.
Bye.
I'll see you later.
Bye.